WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News
app.
I'm Alex Stone. Tennessee's Republican-led House has expelled one of three Democratic members for joining an anti-gun protest in the state capitol following the Nashville private school shooting. Ousted State Rep. Justin Jones calls it a spectacle.
It is a historic day for Tennessee, but it may mark a very dark day for Tennessee because it will signal to the nation that there is no democracy in this state.
Votes are still underway. A report on the Afghanistan withdrawal from the Pentagon and the State Department finds ending the war was the right decision, but there was a lack of planning on the military pullout.
Whatever plans there might have been done by the previous administration, we didn't see. And it was not apparent that that there was a lot of planning done.
National Security Spokesman John Kirby. The LA County Coroner releasing Coolio's official cause of death, saying the rapper died of a fentanyl overdose in September. The report saying he also had heroin and methamphetamine in his system. This is ABC News. Pope Francis is keeping up with the Holy Thursday tradition. The Pope used a wheelchair and cane as he held mass in a juvenile prison in the suburbs of Rome, where he washed the feet of a dozen young people following a similar ritual as Jesus Christ. What songs are topping the streaming charts so far this year?
Miley Cyrus's Flowers is the most streamed song globally this year so far, with 1.16 billion on-demand plays. That's according to the entertainment data company Luminate, which drops an even bigger statistic in that report. Global audio music streams topped 1 trillion as of March 30th, faster than any previous year. SZA's Kill Bill takes the number 2 spot with 885 million streams, with The Weeknd's Die For You in third. Christopher Watson, ABC News.
A new exhibit hosted by the Museum of Templo Mayor in Mexico City, marking the 45th anniversary of the discovery of a monolith depicting the Mexican lunar goddess Coyolxauhqui. I'm Alex Stone, ABC News.
This is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
Mmm, it is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle, delivered to my door. And I help Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April 10th.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinair. Here's what you need to know. Medical marijuana may have GOP support this session. Republican Senator Mary Felskowski said during a Wisconsin policy forum that any measure will need the support of both the state's medical community and law enforcement. Recreational marijuana advocate Democratic Senator Melissa Agard says the most dangerous thing about marijuana in Wisconsin currently is that it's still illegal. Wisconsin is becoming an island of prohibition surrounded by states that are legalizing or will soon be legalizing marijuana use. Since the COVID pandemic, Wisconsinites have been spending more time outdoors. And now the Office of Outdoor Recreation wants to become a permanent part of the state tourism department. The office created in the 2019-2021 budget, the governor wants to make the office's three positions permanent and provide $1.1 million over the next 2 years. I'm Jane Matinair. This is Civic Media News.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole.
If you are 45 and older, don't let stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then...
Sales.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local, national, and Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Well, you know, this is my favorite time of the year, Wendy, and I don't know why I just came up with that accent, but this is my favorite time of the year, and what time is that?
Because the snow is melting?
It's baseball season.
Oh, baseball season.
Yes, close. We don't need, you know, old days of the Dome, we didn't care if it was snowing out because we had the Dome and we hated that stadium. But
that's right.
That's another story. But hey, what do we got going here? Why am I so excited other than baseball?
Our store, yes, called Native Roots Trading Post, will be at the Creator's Corner at Target Field in Minneapolis, and that's exactly where the Minnesota Twins play.
Yeah,
we're going to be there for 3 months during the baseball season.
80 games.
Wonderful.
Make the playoffs, will be maybe some more. Oh,
that would be wonderful. Gate 34. We have lots of great Native American art and supplies there that you could come on down and see. We have some Leech Lake wild rice that was hand harvested.
Oh.
We have Joseph Ryder. He's an artist who makes beautiful sterling silver,
yes,
jewelry. We have his earrings. They're really spectacular. You should come down and take a look at them. Artist Heck.
Yeah,
Ivan Heck. He makes beautiful art
paint
on canvas.
Yes.
And we have prints and a large canvas.
Canvas.
Art.
Yeah. A painting.
Painting. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Hey, this is a live show, but
I know.
We can't
we
start
have
Wendy, over,
Wendy. Wendy Roy, beaded jewelry. She even made necklaces that have baseballs on them. And we have posters and cards by artist David White.
Yeah, those are awesome.
So we have all beautiful art and supplies there. So come on down and take a look. Gate 34.
You know, it's funny how small our Native community is, because I know Zoe through Zoe's father, and Zoe works with us now. And her father really helped us put together that store with all the artists that he knows, Zoe. And I know you're deep in the art, and you're going to be a B resale coming up too, I saw.
Yeah. Thank you for mentioning that, Robert. My sister and I will be doing a pop-up show at B Resale, which is on, I just know it as Eat Street. I would have to find the address really quick. But that'll be on Saturday from 12 to 5 p.m. So if you're interested in coming to see us and our earrings, we do beaded earrings. My sister also makes earrings out of birch bark, and she does quilt work too. She won't have any quilt work this time, but we'll have some mirror earrings and some other fun stuff, and maybe even some t-shirts. So yeah, it's gonna
be a good
time.
Is it Nicollet Avenue?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Nicollet. Yes, it's 2613 Nicollet Avenue, Minneapolis.
It's next to one of our favorite donut shops too, Wendy.
Yes, it is. Glam Doll Donuts.
Yeah, yes. We get the vegan donuts there. And my mom, well, I think we got a couple in the freezer I'm going to have during break here.
Ooh, that's a good idea. We can just pop them in the microwave and heat them up, and they'll be as good as new.
Yes, and Bee Resale, I think we used to have our hoodies and t-shirts we sold out of there, and it's just a great idea. She recycles and reuses and repurposes clothing.
So they don't end up in the landfill, and they're really, it's really nice stuff. So it's Bee Like Boy, Bee Resale.
Wendy, you're on it today.
I'm not really. Did you hear me before?
Well, you know, and I'm excited to... because the proceeds, it's keeping, you know, our whole thing is to get Native artists out there and mainstream them. And this is, you know, from being in the Dayton store now, and then we were at the State Fair. And that's when we got to first meet Zoe. She was spying on us. And then...
at various powwows.
Yes, yes. and now we'll be at Shakopee's powwows, State Fair, and hopefully back to Dayton's.
That was yeah, amazing. And the good thing is that, Robert, when people come up, we can tell them who the artist is, where the merchandise came from.
Exactly.
These things,
no appropriation here.
Yeah, these the earrings, the art that we have, the paintings, the cards, the posters were all made by Native American artists. And their heart and soul went into this art. And it's,
well, for each beading, am I right, Zoe? There's a prayer for each, I've heard that term, where each bead is a prayer.
Oh, in a beaded piece?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've definitely received some of those teachings as well. And I was always told that, you know, if you're doing beadwork, just make sure you're in a good spirit, because you are putting your energy into those beads. But I also think that beadwork can be really helpful when you're not doing great. Definitely helps me mentally. So yeah, our beads are very, very sacred, very special. That's why it's really important that you buy from actual Native artists and not pretendians or appropriators, which... same thing sometimes.
You know, just to change gears here in a few minutes here, Zoe, Ogama yesterday spoke about what's going on with Honor the Earth, and we want to acknowledge that. We don't support organizations like that, Zoe.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it's a big moment right now. It's really important that people are very clear with... you know, supporting survivor victims and any child that's, you know, hurt by an adult that they should feel like they should trust, you know. That's really getting into the thick of things, but regardless of the point, that's, I think it's important that we talk about it, Robert.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, and I appreciate you. We, during our meetings and conversations, we've kept an eye on this big time, because as everyone knows, we've had Winona LaDuke on and we've had Honor the Earth on, and this came up to us as a big surprise what was going on, and we do not support that. We support the victims, and that's how it is.
Mm-hmm. Victims, whether human or animal.
Exactly. And that's a really good point, Wendy, because you do the sacred right. Animal or relatives portion when you're on, and how important that is, that we're all beings. And there's, not to get deep into it today, but there was shenanigans going up there from people that were working for Honor the Earth that did not bode well for our relatives that are with hooves and tails.
Mm-hmm. Hooves and tails specifically.
Exactly. So it's a great time in our way, but we need to support and reach out and really support the victims, and you know, and leave it at that, you know. Mm-hmm. No rationalizing, no...
making excuses.
Thank you.
Yeah, we can't do that.
So it's really an important time, and it's an important subject, and I'm glad yesterday Ogama brought it up, and today we're talking a little bit about it because it is very important, Zoe.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very important.
Well, today, you know, this is a fun Thursday, and we have Robert Lilligren from the Native American Community Development Institute on next, and I always like to have fun talking with Robert, and we have a lot to talk about, as always, with nationally, locally, and spiritually, and all these things out there. So up next, Robert Lilligren.
Stay with us.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence. And shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Roll up your sleeves and enjoy some refreshments. On Friday, April 7th, the Indigenous Roots Cultural Center will offer free coffee and tea to anyone who gets a COVID vaccine between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. You'll also receive a $50 gift card. The event is open to the public, and while walk-ins are welcome, early registration is encouraged at interfaithaction.org. So protect yourself by getting vaccinated while enjoying some free coffee and tea. That's Friday, April 7th at the Indigenous Roots Cultural Center in St. Paul.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
Well, what a coincidence. We have Robert Lilligren on today.
What a coincidence.
He's CEO of the Native, of what we like to say, NATCI. Oh, hey, Robert, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Bonjour, Robert. And did I hear Wendy's voice as well? I don't see her here.
She's incognito. She's working the radio side of her camera this time. Right, Wen?
Yes, cool. I am. Hello, Robert. It's good. Great to see you.
Nice it's been to a hear while. Your voice. Yeah. Yeah, it has been too long.
Well, before we get too far into it, I want to talk about Wisconsin coming through. We had Judge Janice Protasiewicz on, and so we put them over the edge, I think, here in Minnesota and Wisconsin, because, as you know, Robert, we're all over Wisconsin. We're on 11 stations live right now, and it's exciting to see good things happen in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's great to see, and it was just such a decisive victory, right? It was like, what, 15 points or something like that. So right. It's a nice win. You know, I'm sure the path isn't smooth. People on the right are already claiming foul about the election. It seems to be their game book these days after every election that they don't like the outcomes of. But yeah, she seems like just a really great choice. Thank you, Wisconsin. Thank you, voters of Wisconsin. And now we'll see what happens, right? I know there were this could be critical in the 2024 elections, and of course, right, just in protecting the rights of our families and friends as well. So we'll see.
In Illinois too, it seems like I think their governor that came around in a good way too.
Yeah, the mayor, right? The mayor of Chicago.
Mayor, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was a clear choice there, right? And so we're seeing these, you know, elections that can be indicating what we may be looking at next year.
Right.
And so there's these advances we're making. I wish nothing but the best for the new Wisconsin justice. And I know there were attempts to impeach her as at her previous position, so we'll see what follows her here, but I'm very hopeful. And yeah, and then the news out of Chicago, I mean, people are speaking with their votes, right?
Yeah.
Good things are happening, and so it's exciting to see. And then in places like Tennessee, I don't know if you've been following that.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Where it's just a travesty of, you know, legislative authorities, where three Democrats voted to expel them.
Right.
From the House, you know, and it's hard to think of something that's going more directly against the will of the voters than expelling their duly elected representatives for a relatively minor rules infraction.
Exactly. And then, you know, speaking of Tennessee, you know, with the shootings, the other Republicans wanting to wait to see what happens as opposed to maybe moving forward to some kind of gun law or any kind of law, you know, it's just it's cold here. We had a long, long winter. We had the third largest snowfall, but I'm glad I'm here, you know, and I'm glad I'm here in Minnesota with our blue state. And I heard rumors too, Robert. I don't know if you heard this, but they might be closing down early because they're getting so much done at the House and Senate.
Oh, at the Capitol?
Yeah.
That would be interesting. Yeah, we were talking. I serve on the Metropolitan Council here in the Twin Cities region. It's our regional government. So I'm a representative appointed by our governor to that. So I was in a meeting with some county elected officials, some council members, senior staff, and the topic of having a trifecta and needing to go into a special session came out.
Yeah.
We were all kind of laughing about that. You know, could you imagine? If they had to go into special session, I think it's more likely that they'll do what you said, Robert, and finish up not on time, not early, at least on time.
Yeah.
Which doesn't happen a lot in our usually split government. And these guys went in, they were clear at the beginning, this Democratic majority in our Senate, in our House, and with our governor's office. And they said they were going for maximum efficiency in the term. And it's something we're just not used to in this state. So I am kind of loving it. I probably wouldn't love it as much if the Republicans were in charge, but I do think people respect when stuff gets done,
right? You know, and the whole thing about giving the money back, the Republicans want to give the money back, and it's just like it goes to the wind, you know. We need to work this, put something, you know, substantial in, and support things that matter instead of giving me money back that I will never miss anyways.
Right. You know, right. And it does give a little bump to the state economy, right? People spend that money, you know, and we really saw during COVID, right, and during lockdown, what an infusion of cash into people's hands could do to sustain the economy. So it does have a little impact, but having been part of government as long as I have, Robert, I always think the words budget surplus when applied to government are kind of, you know, a misnomer. There's always more need than there are the resources that we have. So to me, it's hard to reconcile how we ever really have a surplus. So I'm with you. Let's invest it wisely. This is a, you know, generational opportunity to make transformational change with significant investments. Let's do that.
Right. And I think we are leaning to that with the Urban Indigenous Legacy Initiative that you're working on, and many other people, named after the great Clyde Belcourt, who befriended me the last 4 or 5 years of his life. And nice. So I appreciate you guys naming it after him.
Well, yeah. And I want to be super clear. I play a very, very small part in that initiative. The Urban Indian Legacy Initiative is an effort of about 16 Native orgs here in the Twin Cities to bring capital dollars to improve our facilities. We all have these 30, 40, 50 year old facilities now that need attention. Mm-hmm. And so it's been going pretty well. It's a significant ask, if I'm not mistaken. I think the last total was $136 million into these, I think there's 13 or 14 distinct projects, and that's something, right? And that's what we're pushing for. And I'm not in the thick of it. I'm not over at the Capitol. I mean, I've been over there a few times for it, but just the kind of stuff that's coming out, you know, they keep asking us for more documentation on our projects and sort of fitting it into their pathway towards how things get funded. So I don't know what the final outcome is going to be. But I'll tell you, just kind of reading the tea leaves leading up to the final outcome, it's looking pretty good.
It is. And I was really excited, Robert. I think I ran into you that day that the governor spoke and talked about more money and more support, and that this should go directly to Native-run organizations, because we know what we need and know how to do it.
Right. And that's been our argument all along, right? We Native orgs and know how to provide services to Native people, and we just lack the adequate resources to do it. So resource us. And there's really been a movement. I mean, having been part of the nonprofit world now for what? Coming up on 10 years almost. There's this effort to, by large bureaucracies and institutions like state government, or even corporate givers or foundations, to try to figure out how to get resources more directly into the frontline folks who are working directly with community. And it's not as easy as you think. You know, right. It takes effort, it takes work, it takes relationship building, it takes trust, it takes understanding on all sides of what's actually going on. So this has been quite an evolution to observe.
Yes, it really has. And I think the key for anything, you know, whether it's teaching or running for office or running a great organization like you are, is relationships, you know, and meeting people where they're at. That's something I learned as a high school teacher. It came natural, but I was able to put a word on it or put a statement on what it meant.
Right. Yep. And that is the beauty of the sort of grassroots organizations that operate within the community, is they have those relationships. And you know, in so much in this world, but certainly in the work that NACTI does and that I do, you know, it is all about relationships. I've written on the board in my office, you may have seen it, it says, "The quality of my work reflects the quality of my relationships." And I've had that written on every whiteboard of every office I've ever had. And I try to live by that. And then when you talk about Native folks, you know, it's all about being in relationship, right? Relationship to each other, relationship to the water and land, the earth. So I think it benefits us all to be deliberate about how we develop, build, manage our relationships.
Yeah, well said. And I think it's important to be aware of that, you know, whatever you're doing. Whether it's the mail person coming to deliver mail, or the person that takes care of our little Wanda who got operated on this weekend, you know, the relationships and what we reap we sow, and what we sow we reap, I guess.
Hear, hear. Yep, it's an important lesson that's sometimes hard to enforce, right? But you got to keep doing it. And someone taught me very early on in my political life, and they said, "Robert, there's never a last act." And what she meant was that you can never treat this as our last conversation. You know, you can never never cut off somebody. You might need them in relationship the next day. Right. Exactly. So you got to act like there's never a last act.
Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
This is Ross Stadheim, partner at MJSB Employment Justice. At our firm, we specialize in cases where our clients tried to do the right thing by reporting illegal or unethical conduct and were demoted or fired. There are laws in place that protect people like you who tried to do the right thing by reporting a problem but were retaliated against. At MJSB Employment Justice, we are fearless advocates who will protect your rights and obtain justice, whether it be a Fortune 500 company or something smaller.
Be heard. You deserve better. Contact us today at mjsbjustice.com.
Next Chapter Booksellers is gearing up for an exciting spring with some big names on the event schedule. Over the next few weeks, they'll host Keith Ellison, Cat Howard, Nana Kwame Adjabrenya, Samantha Irby, Luis Orea, and more. Mark your calendars for these can't-miss events and find the author's schedule at nextchapterbooksellers.com. And don't forget, with graduations, holidays, and birthdays coming up, Next Chapter Booksellers is full of great gift ideas like books, puzzles, and games. That's Next Chapter Booksellers off Snelling and Grand in St. Paul.
Consumer Reports published their 2023 Best Vehicles report, and Toyotas from Rudy Luther Toyota dominate the list again. The Corolla Hybrid, the Corolla Cross, and the Camry all top their best value new cars categories. The Camry Hybrid, the Highlander Hybrid, the Corolla Hybrid, and RAV4 Prime all ranked as best green choices, and my personal favorite, the Toyota Sienna, also ranked in the top of its class. Toyotas are not only gorgeous, they're best buys. Test drive one today by going to Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of Minneapolis on 394.
Hello, Minnesota. This is Tom Hartman, and you can catch me every weekday from 11 to 2 right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's smart radio for smart people.
Hey, Twin Cities. Are you trying to move your side hustle to your main hustle? Having trouble leveling up your back office? Getting stuck on where and how to get money to grow your business? Then you don't want to miss Connect Up Summit Friday and Saturday, April 14th and 15th at Walder Foundation in St. Paul. Connect Up is a two-day summit offering hands-on workshops and connecting small businesses with each other, local investors, as well as local and national resources to grow your business. You'll get to meet more people in the small business ecosystem in 2 days than would take you 2 years to meet on your own. Connect Up sells out every year, so get your tickets today. Go to connectupmn.org. Follow us on Instagram and LinkedIn to get the latest updates. Again, that's Friday and Saturday, April 14th and 15th at the Walder Foundation in St. Paul. That's connectupmn.org. connectupmn.org.
KTNF AM 950, St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. I want to tell you about a better, more environmentally friendly way to care for your lawn with Natur-Lawn. Natur-Lawn has been treating Minnesota lawns for more than 20 years with organic-based natural products that feed the soil without unnecessary chemicals. That means an envy-worthy, healthier lawn that's safer for your family and your furry friends. Natur-Lawn has no contracts and is 100% satisfaction guaranteed. So let Natur-Lawn handle your lawn care so you can enjoy your lawn. More at Natur-Lawn.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 23, Friday sunny with a high near 50, and Saturday sunny with a high around 61. From the bright personalities to the bold flavors, 30 Bales in Hopkins is the perfect gathering spot for anyone looking for a taste of the Midwest. Whether you're stopping by for a quick drink or settling in for a leisurely meal, you'll find plenty to love at 30 Bales. Located at 1106 Main Street in Hopkins, more at 30bales.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yes, they do. Thank you, Wendy. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute. And one of the things, and it's great here, Robert, you can be my witness here.
Okay.
We've talked a few times when Wendy hasn't been on the show, and I said, what Wendy always tells me is ask what they want to talk about. So what I'm going to do, and Wendy's here on the air with us, I'm going to ask you, what would you like to talk about?
Gosh, thanks, Robert. And thanks, Wendy, for the advocacy. And there's so much going on. And I was thinking of that as I was getting ready to come on the air tonight. I didn't, you know, I usually have a few topics kind of picked out, and you've hit on a couple of them. But I really didn't have anything that specific I wanted to talk about. But I thought for sure you'd want to talk about sort of the federal or the national level conversations and whether that has to do with our former president being arrested and charged, which I think is very interesting. And then there's also the Justice Clarence Thomas stuff that's going down. And so it's so interesting when you have this political philosophy that's sort of built on, well, individual rights, but on you know, and sort of doing the right thing and trying to take the moral high ground. And then you have these highest placed officials, you know, in our land that are just doing nasty, likely criminal things.
How do we, Robert, get a bigger Supreme Court? And I mean larger as in numbers. Doesn't it make sense to have 20 people or 21 people in there instead of just these, I don't even know how many are in there. 13?
Nine?
Yeah. See, I think you'd have to have an odd amount.
Right. So you can't tie. And the size of the Supreme Court has grown and shrunk throughout the nation's history. It hasn't always been nine. It's been less. And so it's an act of Congress, right? We need to pass a law to expand the Supreme Court, and maybe that isn't the worst idea. Lifetime appointments, I don't know, that doesn't get talked about as much, but the idea of expanding the number, I think, is a debate worth having.
And so what's going on with Thomas? I just saw something fly by my news. What's happening with him?
Well, allegedly he has accepted hundreds of thousands of dollars, it may actually be in the millions, of free travel, free accommodations from wealthy Republican donors or a wealthy Republican donor. And these are things that he would need to disclose and declare, as all judges do, all federal judges do, almost anyone that holds a public position. I have to do it as I'm a council member. You have to do these sort of financial disclosures. And none of this was ever disclosed. And at least one of the trips I read about would likely have been about $500,000 trip that was given to him that he or his QAnon wife never did that. Yes, one of my blogs calls her QAnon Jenny, so I
this QAnon wife. But that kind of came from nowhere. That was cool how you slipped that in there. That's hilarious. But now we have Trump, who's looked very sad. I was watching it live when they had the cameras on. What floor was that?
Yeah, I think CNN was saying that he looked really sad and discouraged. But I'm sure, I don't watch Fox News, but I'm sure Fox was saying, oh, he looks so stern. He must be really thinking, you know. It's all a perception of which news station is.
Pensive. Pensive. It's like, that involves thought. Fox also said he looks so presidential.
Yeah. Well, he snapped out of it and started attacking the judge and the head prosecutor. So 4 hours later,
And the judge's wife and the judge's children.
Yeah. Didn't he put his address out there or some crap
that? Yeah, that's just beyond anything, you know. And there's more to come, right? This was 34 counts. There's at least two other investigations going on that could very well generate criminal charges. And so it's just... And he's still the front runner Republican nominee for 2024.
Well, I was on Crudy's show, the show out of Madison today, and we were just talking Devil's Advocate, right, Wen? And I was talking about the mascots there, but what I did talk about was, like, he asked me about that, and I said, you know, 74 million people voted for him, and there's people out there that have been always there. They just never had a leader or a voice, and to act this way. So there's weird support. There's support from people that never voted before and have just really, the orange one has really fired up this sleeping giant in this country of racism.
Right. Yep. He has an audience, right? He has a base. He has people that are willingly following him. I believe that it is based in race, a lot of the dissatisfaction of his followers. And it's so interesting. I mean, it's not that sort of polarized. We all know that, right? And for me, I feel like, you know, diversity, racial, cultural, whatever, is really our strength, right? That's the juice of freedom, right? And you know, to have a whole half of our country that feels completely differently. And it's like, how do we all miss the point like this? Yeah. And then to have a whole party and philosophy that talks about drain the swamp. It's like, well, you are the swamp,
right?
So, you know, are you going to drain yourself? Or it baffles me sometimes.
It's really baffling and it's hard to comprehend, but again, we really have a lot to be grateful for because Gen Z's not taking this standing down or sitting down. It's like, I just can't say that enough.
Right. And Gen Z's, you know, has the potential of being the largest voting bloc in this country, you know, replacing seniors. And so that's a voice that will be heard. And you can see, you know, just by looking at what happened in Chicago, the Chicago mayor's race, or looking at what happened in the Wisconsin's Supreme Court race, that when there's a level playing field, you know, more progressive candidates perform very, very well. But we have a system that's been manipulated by a minority party to enshrine minority rule at the state and federal levels. And so that means we have to work that much harder to overcome and override those tyrannous minorities that feel that this country should be run by a minority party.
Well, Wisconsin's so gerrymandered. I heard somewhere or read somewhere that in order for a Democrat to win, they have to get 60% of the vote, and a Republican would have to get 40% of the vote. And I don't know how that works, but that's just an amazing statistic that I've heard.
Right. Well, and if you look, I mean, Wisconsin is very much like Minnesota politically, where it's kind of a 50-50 state, you know, and here we managed to hold on to all of the statewide constitutional offices, thank goodness. But in Wisconsin, and I can't remember if their congressional delegation is 8 or 7, but I think there's 6 Republicans and 2 Democrats.
Right.
The population is pretty much 50-50. So that just shows you. Those are gerrymandered districts and then that kind of underpins what you were saying, where it would take a Democrat more to get elected. And so these kinds of things, like a state Supreme Court election, matter.
Yeah, and all the gerrymandering and also voter suppression, and the Gen Zs came out in force, and so did all the like-minded Democrats too. And I Trump's ahead of the Republicans, but where is he at against right now with Biden? Do you know? He's way down from Biden, isn't he?
Yeah, he is down. I haven't seen a number like this week or anything, but yeah. Yep.
And yeah, Trump was very disappointed also that all his followers didn't come out to protest his arraignment. And he was complaining that it was because it was in downtown Manhattan and it's very blue there, and that maybe they should have had it in Staten Island. Could you imagine? Nobody goes to Staten Island.
Easy, Wendy.
That's what Stephen Colbert said last week.
Yes, that's where I got it from. Thank you, Stephen.
That's so good. And yeah, and I think that a lot of potential protesters, and I've seen what happened and what rightfully is happening to the January 6th insurrectionists, and people are concerned, and they should be, about kind of showing up at these things. You know, if they're going to turn violent, I don't think that Trump or any of those guys had very much control over their followers, that things could go bad fast.
You know, just remember we Wendy and I we went and watched with a group of people from AM 950 the debate between Trump and Biden, and all the secret talk during that last debate with him, you know, telling stand down now and all this all this crazy stuff that people are really, really listening to, and all the weird cues that he's putting out there is just, it's kind of frightening, really.
It's really frightening. And, you know, people like me, I mean, that's always floating around there, you know, that kind of what the sort of dog whistle or the coded language is. And I think people like me, or I'll just speak for myself, I just didn't really think that it could be like that. You know, I didn't think a competitive candidate for president would be talking to people like that, you know, or even go back to those good people on both sides. Remember that?
Yeah.
That comment, you know, and it's just like, it's been a little bit of a wake-up call. And I have my own sort of, you know, conspiracy theory vibe, too. But now I know stuff like this happens at the highest levels. Listen for those coded comments. Try to figure out who he's talking to.
Exactly.
Notice that with a lot of folks on the right, you kind of have their codes, you know, and I don't necessarily know them.
Right, exactly. Hey, Robert, thanks for stopping in. Always great discussion and catching up to the great work you're doing and what's happening here in Minnesota and the Twin Cities specifically. Thanks again for stopping in.
It's my pleasure. Nice seeing you, Wendy. See you on camera there now. And nice seeing you, Robert.
Pina Gigi, thank you. Hey.
Take care, Robert.
Right on. Thanks. That was Robert Lilligren, Wendy, Native American Community Development Institute. And you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Oh.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Your Blue Line Extension Project wants to hear from you. We are working on extending the Blue Line Light Rail into North Minneapolis, Robbinsdale, Crystal, and Brooklyn Park, and connecting it to our growing transit system. Tell us about your neighborhood, your business, your family, and what you need from your Blue Line. Learn more and share more of your story at yourblueline.org. That's yourblueline.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Roll up your sleeves and enjoy some refreshments. On Friday, April 7th, the Indigenous Roots Cultural Center will offer free coffee and tea to anyone who gets a COVID vaccine between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. You'll also receive a $50 gift card. The event is open to the public, and while walk-ins are welcome, early registration is encouraged at interfaithaction.org. So protect yourself by getting vaccinated while enjoying some free coffee and tea. That's Friday, April 7th at the Indigenous Roots Cultural Center in St. Paul.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
I heard Zoe.
Yeah.
Hey, Zoe.
Hey,
I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. She's been an animal advocate for many years, and she's been on the show for over 7 years here at Native Roots Radio and talking about, you know, our sacred animals, which are our relatives. And it's, I've learned so much over the years, Wendy, and I know we have a sacred animal right down here. Welcome.
Yes. Hi, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that.
Oh,
yes, Robert, our dog, Wanda, who is a 12-year-old Shih Tzu.
A human.
She is a human. She's our human dog.
She has eyes. It looks at, she's curious and concerned.
Yes. Well, yesterday she had a repair of her ACL, of her left rear leg. So she had surgery, and it's like really quite an intensive surgery. So she was there most of the day yesterday. We picked her up last night and brought her home, and she's on pain medication and also anti-anxiety medication just to keep her calm. She's a pretty high-strung dog and barks a lot about different things. And I think she worries a lot. She's a worrier.
She looks concerned a lot.
She does. So she's on medication. She's here with us. She's comfortable. She's in a little doggy bed with a blanket over her. So it's an 8-week recovery. We're going to have to go really slow with her. She's a dog who really, really wants to run and walk a lot and jump and hop and do all those kind of things. So we really have to rein her in.
I didn't realize how often this happens to dogs.
This is a very common injury for dogs. Since it happened to Wanda, I hear it from everybody now. It's like the yellow Volkswagen syndrome, where you hear about it, and now everybody's dog or somebody knows of somebody who's had a dog who has torn their ACL.
Oh.
So it's a tendon that attaches to their bone, and it ripped. And
it sounds like what happened to me.
Yeah, you did your quad tendon.
Right.
You and then
the yellow Volkswagen syndrome is I started talking to all these people that had the same operation as me. It's like, what?
So if you have any prayers or nice thoughts for Wanda, put them out in the universe.
Yeah.
And we're all hoping that she recovers fast and she'll get back to her 5 mile a day walks.
Yeah, with
because,
you.
And exactly, because she really enjoys them. And I do too. You know, so we'll hope that she'll do well.
She will.
I have a fun story here, though, I wanted to tell you guys
about. It's like Fun Facts Friday,
well,
but it's only Thursday.
Is. Well, here's the thing. I got an update this morning, so it's brand new, hot off the press. From April 6, 2023 at 5:28 a.m., they updated it. And this is from, it's written by Chloe Rafferty and Catherine Hubbard. Let's see where. Oh, here it is. Raleigh, North Carolina, from WNCN. A pair of best friends have embarked on their new adventure. A truly bonded dog, get it? They embarked.
Yeah.
They embarked on a new adventure.
Ooh.
A truly bonded dog and goat duo that became internet famous for their friendship has officially left the Wake County Animal Shelter Wednesday, this morning, for their new home. 1 week ago, the animal shelter announced that Felix, a male dog, and Cinnamon, a female goat, are going
Cinnamon.
To live out their years together at a Johnson County farm.
Cinnamon.
Yeah. The two came to the shelter together on March 13th after their owner was hospitalized and unable to care for them. Officials said they previously lived at a home in Raleigh. The center said Felix and Cinnamon are best friends who sleep together and are together 24/7 except when they eat. Wednesday, today, Wake County government shared photos of the pair leaving the animal shelter and heading to their new home. And you could just Google dog and goat duo, and you'll see pictures of them. They're Cinnamon. Adorable. There's one picture of them facing each other with the kind of necks like wrapped around each other, kind of giving a hug. It's really cute. Yes.
I want a goat, but we don't have enough grass in the back.
I know. It warms our hearts to see these two besties leave the animal shelter for good and start their new adventure together with their new family, Wake County Government wrote in a Facebook post. So congratulations, Felix and Cinnamon. I'm really happy to hear that. Yes, that's really awesome.
That's a great story.
Yeah, isn't that so cute?
See, Alice gave a shout out to her little kitties, giving a shout out.
Oh, thank you. Pepita. Thank you, Pepita, who is sending prayers up for little Wanda. I appreciate this. Here's another article that I found. I think I might have talked about this. It's about how animals can feel empathy.
Yes.
A simple experiment. Researchers at the University of Chicago sought to find out whether a rat would release a fellow rat from an unpleasantly restrictive cage if it could. The answer is yes.
I think I saw this on TikTok.
The free rat, occasionally hearing distress calls from its from this little friend there, learned to open the cage and did so with greater efficiency over time. It would release the other animal even if there wasn't any proof of payoff of a reunion. Astonishingly, it's if given access to a small hoard of chocolate chips, the free rat would usually save at least one for the captive, which is a lot to expect of a rat.
That's hilarious.
The researchers came to an unavoidable conclusion that what they were seeing was empathy.
Wow.
I have another. How much time do I have?
You got about 2.5
minutes. Oh, okay. I got plenty of time. Yeah. So there's another story about an ewe.
Ew.
Ooh.
Ew.
That's a female sheep. Or a U. No, it's a U. I think it's E-U-E, and it's pronounced U.
Dad.
So a U, a female sheep, gave birth to a stillborn baby that was unable to be resuscitated.
Oh.
After the stillborn was removed, the mother cried all night longing for her baby. But another lamb had twins the week before. And to the astonishment of the farmer, the mother who had the twins gave one of her babies to the grieving mother to raise as her own. Mm. I would say that would be empathy as well, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Wow.
There's this chimpanzee colony or monkeys. No, I don't think they're monkeys. They're more like a chimpanzee. They're called bonobos.
Bonobos,
and they look like chimpanzees. They're fascinating, and still as little as known about them. We don't know a whole lot about them, but they have the only female-led great ape society with a sophisticated social structure that encourages cooperation and peace.
Huh.
Yeah, both within and between groups, bonobos tend to resolve conflict through affection rather than aggression. Unlike many other animals, bonobos are neither territorial or hostile to strangers. When two bonobo groups encounter each other, they will frequently share food and engage in intimate behaviors.
Oh,
you know why? This is all such a great thing?
Why?
Because it's female-led.
Yeah.
They have the only female-led great ape society.
Wow.
They were once called pygmy chimpanzees, and I'm just assuming that they're smaller than a chimpanzee, but they're not like a monkey. They look more like a chimpanzee, and they're really cute. You could look them up. Bonobos, B-O-N-O-B-O-S.
I know our little ones have empathy towards each other. I know Wanda would always go up to Gracie if Gracie was scared, and that's why we got them, adopted them as bonded animals, and they have empathy for each other.
Yeah, when we brought Wanda home from the hospital last night, Gracie was so concerned and was like really looking and making sure that she was okay.
Yeah. Hey, thanks to Robert Lilligren, Wendy Pilot, and Zoe Allen. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Now.
Elvis is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
Mmm, it is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle, delivered to my door. And I helped Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April 10th.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
ABC News.